This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We definitely have had a physical, tough, aggressive series in which both the Celtics and Heat have banged around, and it's looked a little more like 90s basketball. I can't remember who said it, but it's a great line. The 90s called, and they want their playoff basketball back. That's kind of what the East has been. Now, I love it. I love the fact that it's turned into a contact sport again. What I don't love is that we've had a series of blowouts, though we got a competitive game, or a close game, on Wednesday night. Though it may be set James Naismith rolling over, Dr. Naismith rolling over in his grave with the brand of offense for a while there. Whew, it was close, but it wasn't always attractive. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can.
The Miami Heat, who jumped the Celtics in Game 3, who jumped them in Game 1 to start the series, will now head back to Boston with the Celtics holding a 3-2 lead. And the Boston Celtics, who were a game under 500 in January, are now one game from the NBA Finals.
Great to be up 3-2. Obviously, going back home, you don't want to be down to elimination game, and to have it on our home court is an advantage, but they beat us there already, so we have to come out with the same urgency after these last two wins, trying to put it away.
You got to enjoy this. You do. You know, every time you're going to have, if you want to break through and punch a ticket to the finals, you're going to have to do some ridiculously tough stuff. And getting on to Boston and figuring that out collectively, you know, that just, those are the emotions and those breakthroughs that you have that you remember the rest of your life.
The voices of Ime Udoka and then Eric Spoelstra, head coaches, as the Eastern Conference Finals heads to a game 6 in Boston coming up on Friday night. Appointment TV, if you like this type of basketball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, and we're really excited to welcome Zach Harper back to the show. Covers the NBA for The Athletic and SiriusXM NBA Radio. And Zach, when you think about the flow of this Game 5, what shifted the balance there in the second half as the Celtics were able to pull away?
The Celtics decided to play basketball and the Heat didn't. I think it's that simple. Like, it was such an ugly first half, and you saw it. Like, I mean, it was a tale of two halves for Jason Tatum, where the first half he was just awful, and I think that shoulder's really bothering him. He looked like, you know, he looked like he was favoring it quite a bit, and he only had like 4 points on like 1 of 9 shooting in the first half. And then in the second half, it was Jason Tatum again. It was the first team All NBAer. It was the guy who, you know, he had like, I want to say like 18 points on 6 of 11 shooting, and he had a bunch of rebounds and a bunch of assists. He got going. Jaylen Brown got going. And two of those guys getting going on any given night, Miami can usually handle that because they usually have other players stepping up. They didn't have anybody tonight. Like, you know, Bam Adebayo hit some shots once that it was a 20-point game, but he wasn't very good. Like, the Heat weren't very good, and the Celtics did enough in that second half to just completely separate themselves.
Can we talk about the disappearing Miami offense? specifically those five starters. What the heck, considering the last game in which the five total starters combined for, what, seven field goals? And now this game where they score even fewer points than what they had in game number four, and this was on their own court. What the hell has happened to the Miami offense?
Yeah, I mean, last game in 2022, if Victor Oladipo comes off your bench and outscores your entire starting lineup, no offense to Vic.
That's right.
Not a good thing, right? Like, that's a sign that something really bad happened. In this game, I want to try to answer this in a way that is respectful to both sides, because I do think Miami is really banged up. Like, Kyle Lowry can barely move. Jimmy Butler has no bounce. PJ Tucker is playing on one leg. I think that matters. But I also don't want to take away from what Boston is doing. Boston's defense all season long was good. The second half of the season, it was generational. Like, generational, like, defense in a way that, like, we've rarely seen teams dominate in that way. And that is showing up. You know, Marcus Smart, for all the injuries that Miami has, Marcus Smart, he's playing on one good ankle. Robert Williams III is playing on one good knee, and they're still able to just clamp down that defensive effort from them, especially in the second half, but in throughout the whole game and really in this series. I mean, I think I saw a stat, and I'm not going to get it completely right, but it was something like the Miami Heat scored like 58 points per 100 possessions in the half court in that game. To put that into perspective, the trust the process Sixers, who were intentionally trying to lose games, scored about double that, right? Like, just like they scored about double that. And so the Heat were just, you know, they're banged up and they're trying to get through this, and it's a war of attrition, but Boston just clamped down.
When we think back to game number three, when the Celtics had so many miscues and mistakes and the Heat were able to generate 33 points off turnovers, it almost feels like now if they can't do that, the Heat have no shot because, yes, injuries, but also because the offense has fizzled in the last two games without that production from the defense to offense.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just that it was 33 points off turnovers in game three. It's that there were 19 live ball turnovers.
Yes.
The Heat had 19 steals, right? Like, if you turn the ball, I mean, turn the ball over is never good. But if you turn the ball over and it goes out of bounds or you travel or whatever, you at least have a chance to set your defense. They didn't do that in game three. And Miami isn't a team that likes to run a lot, but they like to be opportunistic. And that's what they were in game three. The last two games, they haven't really had that chance. They had a couple of live ball turnovers tonight that they kind of messed up the spacing. They kind of messed up the rhythm of what that fast break should be. But, yeah, like, Boston had just – they started taking care of the ball a lot better the last two games, and they just weren't giving away easy transition opportunities with those turnovers.
We're excited to have Zach Harper back on the show again, covering the NBA for The Athletic. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Talked about this on my show, the idea that these two teams are battering and bruising each other to the point that the winner of the East, that team that moves on to the NBA Finals, it's almost like collectively is on one leg to face a Warrior squad that looks pretty darn healthy, especially if Andre Iguodala is able to get back.
Yeah, it feels like the Heat and the Celtics are just climbing up this hill, right? This very steep hill, and there's barbed wire, and there's broken glass, and there's tacks and nails and everything, right? And they're trying to do it. And meanwhile, it feels like the Warriors are on a Segway, and they just found a road that is paved that's very easy to traverse to get to the top of that hill. And they're like, what are you guys doing on, like, climbing through this hill? This is nuts. But, yeah, the Warriors, I mean, I don't know that either the Heat or the Celtics will be healthy enough to handle the Warriors. The Celtics defense, I'm assuming they close this out in six now. The Celtics defense is special, but with the way the Warriors play, I don't know that it matches up that easily. They're going to have to be bullies. They're going to have to be super physical, and they're going to have to hope that that doesn't result in a lot of free throws for guys like Jordan Poole, guys like Klay Thompson, guys like Steph Curry, obviously. And if they can avoid putting them on the free throw line, then maybe they can compete. Maybe they can shoot with them. Maybe they can find ways to make that happen. But I also just think they got through a crazy physical Bucks series, only to get through what is likely getting through a crazy physical Heat series. And then the Warriors are going to be like, hey, chase Steph around for seven games.
when you think about the Warriors into their sixth and, well, almost into their sixth NBA Finals, oops, shouldn't jump the gun there, in 8 years, what's your reaction to the fact that Jordan Poole, Andrew Wiggins, even Kevon Looney, but this particular group around Steph, Clay, Dre, has been able to ascend back to this point in essentially a year and a half?
Yeah, and I think when you look at what they were doing last season, like, okay, they made the play-in tournament and they nearly, you know, got through. You know, Memphis does a great job of beating them in that last play-in to get the eighth seed. But that last month and a half was just, Steph Curry was one of the greatest scorers we've ever seen, right? For a month and a half, right? Like, he was just carrying them. If you remember, like, you know, Jordan Poole was kind of a thing at that point, but not really. Obviously, no Clay. Draymond was directing the defense. Andrew Wiggins looked like he was completely lost in that system because he had to get a lot of that Minnesota Timberwolves out of him, and he had to figure out how to play with Steph, and that's not easy. It's not easy that – and it sounds so weird to say, but everything, every action with the Warriors offense has a purpose. Every action is a live ball cut. Every movement is meaningful, and that's just not the case with a lot of teams. Like, some guys are just kind of going through the motion, not expecting the ball. Everything's live for the Warriors, and that's hard to figure out how to play in constantly. You've seen the leaps that he took. I mean, he was an all-star this year. Maybe some of that was K-pop, but whatever. He was an all-star, right? Like, he had a great first half of the season. Jordan Poole, a lot of people thought he should have been in the, you know, more in the mix for most improved player. You know, the way that guys like Damian Lee stepped up at times, Gary Payton II stepped forward and created a career for himself. The way it's come together has just been incredible, and it speaks to the leadership of Steph and Draymond. If you think about it, Clay really hasn't been that good, and yet he's still a threat.
Right.
And Steve Kerr's done a great job of getting guys ready and getting guys in that culture and in that system. And they look like they're ready to win another championship.
Zach Harper is with us from The Athletic and from L.A. here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So let's talk about the L.A. basketball team known as the Lakers. This coaching search they're going through is fairly extensive, if you believe the reports. What's the right fit for a team that has a LeBron maybe in the last year of his tenure with the Lakers? We'll see. But a group that clearly was not assembled correctly for this past season and really does have some major question marks.
It would be good if they had a coach who could double as like an athletic trainer to get Anthony Davis's body ready, right? Like, it would be good if we could put him back together like Humpty Dumpty who fell off the wall, because it's just, Without AD healthy and on the court consistently, look, he's a complicated player in the first place because his teams don't really have success ever, and even when you remove LeBron from the court, it looks like the Pelicans again when AD's in a Lakers uniform. But together, they're clearly a threat, right? They're clearly a threat, and then the whole rest thing was a mess, and that's not really going to resolve itself. It's going to be more about, I think, the extra pieces they put around than the coach. And it's not that the coach isn't important, and it's not a whole like, well, LeBron really coaches that team. It's just that's going to be half management, half coaching. And the management part of that is just going to be finding rotations that work, finding players who can play some defense, finding guys that can knock down shots, and finding guys that can play together without getting hurt. And it's just very difficult. Like, Rob Pelinka in that front office has their work cut out for them. And whether it's Terry Stotts or Darvin Ham or whoever ends up being the coach, it's going to have to be a lot of people putting egos aside, getting on the same page, and playing basketball in a way that is for the team. They did that the previous 2 years under Frank Vogel. They didn't do that last year. Everything was for the individual last year.
Frank Vogel was an experienced guy who had won in the playoffs, who had the respect of LeBron James, is another experienced coach who's got playoff experience, who would command the respect of LeBron James, the right fit? Or do you just say, I don't know, we start from scratch, especially if he's going to be a sacrificial lamb? That's the weird part about it.
Right, yeah. I guess it's how serious do the Lakers think they are in terms of putting together a title contending team? And you have to hire the coach before you can make the roster moves, right? And not that they won't have things lined up, but you never know what that roster is going to look like. And that will be just as important, as I said. And so it's funny because, like, I think Terry Stotts is a really good coach. I don't know that I'd want him coaching a LeBron team. I think Darvin Ham is going to be a really good coach in this league. I think he has shown you know, a lot as an assistant. He's very highly regarded. Players love him. Players will play for him. He might be another Ime Udoka type of success story. But is that first job going to be trying to patch together the last years of LeBron's career to make it something title contending? That doesn't sound all that fruitful to me. And so I wish I had an answer for you. I don't know. That thing is so up in the air, and it is such a mess, and they have so much to clean up before I even get to, like, oh, yeah, who should the coach be next year?
It's funny because the Lakers, you would think, would be a premier job where it doesn't matter. Yeah. If you get offered that gig, you take it. No questions asked. Who cares what the salary? I'll volunteer to coach the Lakers if that's what you want. But it's just not that case right now. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Zach Carper's in LA. I want to get your reaction to this report that is in New York, so other side of the country, but just as high a profile name, and in fact a former LeBron teammate, in that the Brooklyn Nets are not interested or leaning away from offering an extension to Kyrie Irving. Now, he's got a player option that he could pick up if he wants for $36.5 million, but according to the New York Daily News, if he doesn't, the Nets may not offer him the big fat extension. So let's just pretend for a second, Zach, that you are offering Kyrie some advice. He's probably not going to take it, but let's just pretend you are. What do you tell him to do?
I don't know how important NBA basketball is to him at this point. I think he loves basketball. I think he considers it an art form. Most of the time when he plays it is an art form. I think he showed this year the money's not that important to him. He's got a ton of money. Not that he wouldn't want an extra $200 million in the bank, but he's got a lot of money. He's got a lot of business ventures that he can invest in. He's going to make money regardless. I think I would say, where are you going to be the most comfortable? And it's in a way, it's coddling an adult who has made hundreds of millions of dollars and has been wildly successful at their profession. But I do think he's in a weird space now where he has to feel respected as an artist and understood as a human being and respected as a thought provoker and all this stuff. And some of it's correct and some of it's just BS, right? Like, some of it is just roll your eyes. Yes, I too took philosophy 101 when I was in college. I get it. Like, half the time he sounds like a kid home for Thanksgiving break after his first quarter at college, trying to expound on all these like theories that he's read from this philosophy book. And like, I get it, but I think ultimately if you're happiest with Kevin Durant and you respect him and you feel comfortable being his teammate, stay in Brooklyn. But if I'm Brooklyn, I don't want to give him long-term money. Like, where has that trust been? That trust hasn't been there with his body, let alone his mind. So I don't know how you would feel comfortable with that.
I mean, if I'm Kyrie, I take the money, but I'm definitely not Kyrie. One more thing, Zach, before I let you go, what's another off-season storyline that you're really intrigued by as we get closer?
I think it's going to be what the Dallas Mavericks do. Not to throw dirt on this season that they're still very much in. I don't believe they're going to be the first team to come back from 0-3 in NBA history. So I think, they had a great jump. I don't know if it's going to end up looking like Atlanta, with Atlanta going to conference finals and Atlanta last year or this past year, kind of just not really taking it seriously and not taking the regular season as seriously as they need to and kind of showing a lack of maturation there. This team for Dallas is a little bit more mature than that and has a little bit more experience. So I don't think it'll go that way. But do they go out and are they super aggressive to go get like Rudy Gobert if he's available, or go try to find a defensive center that is better than Dwight Powell that is going to fix a lot of what they want to do just in terms of playing with size and playing with mobility and having a vertical spacer for Luka Doncic to throw lobs to? Are they going to go find another wing that they can play? Are they going to lose Jalen Brunson in free agency because the Knicks want to give him $500 million, whatever that's going to end up being? Where their roster goes, because they had so much great success under Jason Kidd, who has done a great job in this first year with Dallas. I think they're probably the most intriguing. And then maybe on top of that, what does Memphis do? Does Memphis feel like, all right, this core is together, this core will be successful. If we have John Morant healthy, we're going to be a lot more dangerous in the playoffs. or do they maybe package some of those younger players and go try to get another star to throw into the mix? Those two teams have shown so much this year, and I do think they're the future of the NBA, and I'm interested to see where they go.
It's a lot of potential for this offseason, if what we've seen in the past few years is any indication. But we still have a champion to crown. You can follow Zach on Twitter at Talk Hoops. Really simple, at Talk Hoops. He covers the league for The Athletic. You can also hear him on SiriusXM NBA. It's always fun to catch up with you, Zach. Thank you so much for a few minutes.
Thanks, Amy. Anytime.
We could only barely scratch the surface of offseason storylines, but the Kyrie Irving one is definitely looming, and the report out of New York is that it's maybe going to be, I don't want to say a rebuild because that's not fair, but a refresh when it comes to the culture. Remember, we already know that Sean Marks has talked about how the culture in Brooklyn took a step back. So that's one storyline. He goes with Mavericks. And yet we still have a bunch of basketball to play too, but it'll be here before you know it. The summer will be here before you know it. In fact, the unofficial start to summer coming up this weekend, Memorial Day weekend. We're glad to have you with us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then our Facebook page too. It's how you can connect. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We'll make the most of our time together, right?
Pleasure to speak with you. I always have a great time.
Huge fan. So glad to have a female voice on sports radio.
I love you. I love listening to your show.
Girl makes the rules around here.
You are absolutely right, Amy.
I listen to you every morning on my way to work, and I appreciate, as do millions of others, that you report like you do.
Love it when chicks call the show. Boom!
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Amy's taking your calls at 855-212-4CBS.
There's a lot that's happening around the world of sports, and it's awesome to think about the ground we've covered in the spring. I'm really proud of the work that we have done, and yet I look ahead on the horizon, and while the games in the NBA and the NHL will come to an end, man, there's still so much that will grab us to start June, so right after this Memorial Day weekend, and then on into the summer months. And I was just saying to my mom on Wednesday that there is a bit of a summer slowdown to the point where you only have baseball of the four major professional sports in season for a stretch. But before you know it, we're going to be at NFL training camps. They start toward the end of July. And then you think about some of the other events that we have on tap in the next couple of months. So we're not that far away from the U.S. Open in golf, right? And then we've got the Open Championship. We've also right now got the French Open going on. We're going to get to that in a second. Wimbledon is not that far away. The fortnight at Wimbledon taking place in July, that's not far away. And then in general, you've got the NBA draft and summer league, if that's what you're into. You've also got the mandatory OTAs for the NFL that will lead us into training camp. And there's still some major question marks, lots of movement around the league. We've got MLS, if you are into pro soccer in this country, or, you know, there's international soccer as well, or still a few months away from the World Cup, but there'll be build up to that too. And then the Major League Baseball landscape, it changes because we get into kind of the dog days where baseball grabs the center ring of the circus, but we start to see teams either find a rhythm, find a groove, settle in, or the opposite. And we see how many of these early front runners can sustain the pace that they have set. So baseball doesn't get a ton of attention early until we get to the post All-Star break. I like to start to pay attention to it in July when we have more time to be able to focus on it. But right now, here's what I know about baseball. Just kidding. This is a joke, so please don't take this for gospel. The Yankees only play the Orioles. Those are the only two teams that match up in either the Bronx or at Camden Yards. It seems like that's something that's happening all the time. And then the Dodgers continue to hit the snot out of the ball. We've got Justin Verlander as maybe back and better than ever, one of the top pitchers in Major League Baseball. The time off certainly did him good. So, yeah, those are a few of the storylines, but we'll get to slow down the heart rate and adopt that soundtrack of summer as we get through the Stanley Cup final and the NBA finals. So yeah, it's summer and it slows down a little bit in sports, but anyone who tells you there's nothing going on in the summer is not paying attention. And it's a good thing you don't have this job. Now, speaking of tennis, cause that would be a really bad sell. Hey, don't listen in the summer cause there's nothing going on. It's a great way to promote your show. There's nothing going on. So we're just going to spend the next 4 hours and talk about absolutely nothing. I mentioned Paris, mentioned the French Open. Rafael Nadal, this is his home away from home. He adores the French Open. He adores the clay, and they adore him. And on Wednesday, he achieved what is Hall of Fame material, to be sure, but he achieved this incredible milestone. 300 career victories in the Grand Slams. So we're not talking about his whole career, every tournament he's ever played in. It kind of feels like he's won that many in Paris alone. But 300 career Grand Slam wins. And he's missed some extensive time because of injuries in his career. It does speak to longevity and toughness and the fact that he has such a passion for the game still at 35 years old. And if you consider the landscape of tennis, where Roger Federer, we may see him again, we may not. But with Rafael Nadal continuing to dominate on clay, and Novak Djokovic, who missed the Australian Open, and we'll kind of see what happens moving forward, but has had his own personal challenges that have taken away from his tennis, Nadal just keeps chugging along. And you can imagine why he was emotional on the court after his latest victory. So he actually played a Frenchman, but Rafael is king at the French Open at Roland Garros. Get this, he is 107-3 all time at this tournament. So again, 300 career Grand Slam wins. A third of them have come in Paris, and that's phenomenal. And so, yeah, good for him. Congratulations to Rafael Nadal. The fact that he has achieved this, again, largely on the strength of his clay court prowess is really a niche that no tennis player may ever be able to replicate.
Happy about a lot of things that I did tonight. So let's try to confirm and keep improving tomorrow. I think the crowd was very, very nice with me too. No? I don't think I I really didn't feel the crowd against me at all. I think it was 50-50 and was supporting a good tennis. No, I always enjoyed a good support here in Paris. I think the people here knows how special is this place for me and how important and how much respect I always had for Roland Garros. And I think they appreciate all the things that I did in this event. So I feel a lot of love from the people here.
Congratulations to Rafael Nadal. Only Federer, Serena, Novak, and Martina Navratilova have ever won 300 singles matches at the Grand Slams. So the four Grand Slams, Australian, French, Wimbledon, U.S. Open. It's interesting, too, that four of the five are from this current era of tennis. I mean, Federer is a little bit older. He's at the end. We may not see him again. I hope that we do. Serena, don't know if we'll see her again. But these are contemporaries. Novak, Rafa, Roger, they're the triumvirate in men's tennis. And then Serena. And Martina, certainly, I mean, she generation previous, but a lot of people who watch tennis now obviously know who Martina Navratilova is. Only five, and four of them are modern-day tennis. Rafael Nadal could actually add to his Grand Slam championships, and he's already on top of the list if he continues to play the way that he is, but he's got 21. Fed and Novak have 20. So the race is on if Novak continues to play in the slams, and we'll see what happens with Federer. But like Serena, even if he does play again, the expectation for them to win another Grand Slam is relatively low. Not that it can't happen, but I think we as tennis fans would be thrilled just to see him back on the court. Actually, that would be pretty amazing. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. And yes, by the way, I am working on Sunday night into Monday. Looking forward to it, actually. We always do something special on Memorial Day weekend to honor your loved ones who you either lost in the line of duty or who have since passed away, because that's what Memorial Day is all about. And if you missed our conversation with U.S. Army vet Ben Peterson, he is the driving force behind this incredible event at Daytona International Speedway. He's partnering with NASCAR to honor Vietnam veterans this weekend, because for too long, they have been left out. And the last check, when we spoke to Ben on our last show, 25,000 veterans and others who are expected to be at Daytona. At this point, they've already got 25,000 tickets that they've given away, but they're looking upwards of 30,000. Really awesome conversation, powerful, impactful. It was raw. Ben very open about his own struggles with PTSD, as well as the rage and the depression and the treatment that he's gone through since he's returned from his 2 years in Iraq. So if you missed that, it's on our podcast, and I would really love for you to either share it with a vet, because his vision is to prevent suicide among veterans, to offer hope and healing and prevent suicide. And this event coming up is one big step that they're taking. So if you are a veteran or you love a veteran, please find it on our podcast after hours, amylawrence.com. You can share it that way, and we'll probably bring back parts of that before the weekend and then after as well, just because it's such an important issue that transcends sports in every way. But I love the fact that NASCAR is involved, and so many of you are NASCAR fans. So check out that conversation if you missed it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Kaepernick takes, rolls to his right. Kaepernick looking back at the end zone. Pump fakes, is going to run, dives. He's in. The 49ers have the lead as Kaepernick scrubbed the play out and lunged across the goal line on the right side.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, that's a blast from the past. Colin Kaepernick on Niners Radio. Ted Robinson with the play-by-play. It's been a hot minute. It's been six hot minutes, 6 years, and a lot of conversation around Kaepernick. Now, he hasn't been sedentary. He's been busy. He's done ad campaigns. He's done social justice campaigns. You may or may not follow him on social media. He's pretty active on social media. He weighs in when he has an opportunity. And so it's not as though we haven't heard from him. And a couple of years ago, the NFL arranged for him to do a workout. And if I remember correctly, the majority of teams sent someone for the workout. And at the last second, Kaepernick didn't like how it was going or how it was set up. And so he doesn't arrive at the site that they were supposed to be using for the workout. Instead, he goes to, I think it was a local high school field, and there are TV cameras waiting. So it made it seem like it was planned. There are TV cameras waiting and there a campaign. But more recently, it seems like he's focused on the football more than maybe he has in recent years. And I say that because he's put it out there. His camp has put it out there that he wants to play football again, just to quiet any of the concerns or the criticisms, the questions about whether or not he actually wants to play football, or if this is about his platform and about his causes. So to that end, we know the Seahawks had thrown his name out there. Pete Carroll does that every now and then. He's mentioned Kaepernick before, but ultimately decided that they would go with the guys that they have. And now, how about this? Colin Kaepernick getting an opportunity with another team. Here's Ian Rappaport on NFL Total Access with all the details.
A fascinating development for Colin Kaepernick, who, as you mentioned, has not played in the NFL since 2016, has not had a meeting with the team since 2017, when he went to visit the Seattle Seahawks, who eventually decided not to sign him, despite Pete Carroll saying that he believed Colin Kaepernick should be in the NFL. And there have been several people over the last couple of years who have advocated for Colin Kaepernick getting a chance. One of those people is Las Vegas Raiders owner Mark Davis, who now does have the opportunity to sign him. So Josh McDaniels, the head coach of the Raiders, and Dave Ziegler, the general manager, worked out Colin Kaepernick earlier today. Remains to be seen whether or not they are the ones to give him the opportunity that he has wanted for years and years. He has been working tirelessly. He also has a documentary being made about him right now. Spike Lee is doing it, so the timing would be perfect, let's say, for Colin Kaepernick. Time will tell whether or not this turns into a signing, or if it's just an interesting workout.
Ian Rappaport on NFL Network. So 2016, the last time we saw Kaepernick in the pro ranks in the NFL. And you may remember that he was with the Niners then, but they were already starting to transition to this new leadership. So he wasn't a part of the future plans of Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. But he started some games. Ultimately, was it Blaine Gabbert that took over for him? If I remember that wrong, please forgive me. It's a bit, and those details tend to get all fuzzy together. But Kyle Shanahan ultimately made the change, and then they were looking to go in a different direction. And honestly, if you know Kyle Shanahan, I mean, Kaepernick was kind of grandfathered in with the Niners when he took over. If you know Shanahan's one of those guys who, if you can help him win football games, if he feels like your skill set fits his offense or fits what he wants to do, he'll keep you. But that's not the skill set they were looking for. It's not the quarterback they were looking for. You remember they went through a couple of bleak years there, finally got the trade for Jimmy Garoppolo with the Patriots, but then some injuries derailed his first full season as their starter. So it's been a tough go, but that was the last time. It was really a transitional year for the Niners, and Kaepernick just never hooked on anywhere else. So first workout with an NFL team since he was cut by the Niners, and really hasn't had a whole lot of play for a lot of reasons. I mean, there are teams out there that wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole simply because of the distraction and all the attention that would come with it. That's enough for plenty NFL teams. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Brian McFadden on CBS Sports HQ answering the question of, well, how might he look or how might he do after 6 years removed from playing at the NFL level?
I can say this much. He's fresh. He's healthy, right? I mean, he has fresh legs. He's healthy. This is a guy that utilized mobility when he was playing. So clearly some of the wear and tear he had throughout his playing days is no longer there. But clearly, rust has to be there. You've been removed from the game for such a long time. You're playing a position that you need to have rhythm. The chemistry, the rhythm needs to be there. That's going to take some time. So I think when you look at this workout for Colin Kaepernick, you need to be able to show the organization you still can complete professional-like passes. The accuracy never was his strong suit, so I don't expect to see him flourish when it comes to that element. But what he did flourish at was athleticism and making things happen that were not there and just having the it factor from time to time. You talked about leading the San Francisco 49ers to the Super Bowl, and clearly they had every opportunity to win that ball game against the Baltimore Ravens. So we know who he was. We remember who he was as a quarterback. I believe he is the same guy. I'm not going to say that because he's older and he's been removed from the game for quite a long time. But I do believe he still has the necessary skill sets and attributes to be able to land a potential backup job.
That's Brian McFadden, former NFL player himself on CBS Sports HQ. Now, the Raiders quarterback room has Derek Carr, obviously, and all indications with Josh McDaniels, who's the new head coach there, is that they're hitching their wagon or they're keeping their wagon hitched to Carr's star. He's not looking for someone new right now, especially in a division like this full of dynamic quarterbacks, football players who can chuck the ball, right? We know what these other guys can do in the AFC West now. And so Derek Carr, he definitely can throw the football. They also traded for Jarrett Stidham in a deal with the Patriots earlier this month. So now Jarrett would seemingly be the backup. Jarrett doesn't have a lot of experience, but he did come up in the Patriots system, and that's where Josh McDaniels came from. So it makes sense that he would have a backup quarterback that he's comfortable with, that he trusts, who already knows the offense in case something happens to Derek Carr. And then Nick Mullins, who also signed with the Raiders. So they've got three guys. But Kaepernick, at 34 years old, again, has made it known through his people, through his camp, through his social, that he wants to play football again. He's done some podcasts. He was actually part of Michigan's spring game. If you remember, they had him throwing to receivers at halftime. There were scouts there at Michigan's spring game, and he was out there, and he was throwing to them because Jim Harbaugh is one of his former coaches with the Niners. And then I didn't know this, but it was interesting to read it. Raiders offensive coordinator Mick Lombardi was a Niners assistant from 13 to 16. Now, what happened in 13? Well, that was, it's the start of CBS Sports Radio Network, if you must know. But also the Super Bowl in 2013 was Ravens, Niners. The lights went out. And Colin Kaepernick almost led the Niners all the way back against the Ravens in that Super Bowl. Certainly athletic. And you hear Bryant say at times, from time to time, he had the it factor. But there were also times where he couldn't make the simple play too. So those criticisms remain, but now they're 6 years removed from a football field. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.